who are Christians here this morning, who was the person who first told you about God or first invited you to a meeting? And through that, your life changed. You had this amazing relationship with Jesus. He transformed your life. Really, it was because that person had the boldness, the courage to invite you to something or to tell you a bit about their faith that inspired you. And if you're new to all this morning, my prayer is that you too would be inspired as you hear about Jesus, because he's got a plan for each one of our lives. He wants to work in each one of our lives. He loves us all dearly, and he died on the cross that we could be forgiven for everything bad we've ever done. We can be washed clean, and we can get to heaven when we die. It's an amazing message. So this morning, I want to look at someone in the Bible who had the boldness to invite someone else to know Jesus, to meet Jesus. And I'm going to look at some things we can learn from that person. We're going to look at the story of Andrew this morning from the Bible. If you have Bibles with you, if you can turn to John's Gospel, and it's going to be chapter 1 and verse 35. Don't worry if you haven't got a Bible. Thanks, David. Just have a listen and I'll read it out. Or there might be someone next to you can share with. John chapter 1, verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. It means like a king. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. So this is an amazing story of a guy who really was amazed by Jesus, by who Jesus was. He believed him to be the Messiah. The word literally means someone who's been anointed with oil, and that's what they did to kings in those days. That's why really it sort of means king in a roundabout way. And throughout the Bible, there have been promises of a special king who was going to come, someone who was going to do something to take away sins, someone who was going to be the king of Israel, who was going to transform the world. And everyone was waiting eagerly for this person to suddenly come on the scene, the chosen one. And it was Jesus. And Andrew met Jesus, and he was convinced, this is the guy, this is the one we've been waiting for. But the first thing he did was to go and tell his brother. He wanted his brother not to miss out. He wanted his brother to be involved. He wanted his brother to come to meet Jesus for himself too. So I'm going to bring out three things that Andrew did in this passage. The first thing Andrew did was he was himself. He wasn't trying to be anybody else. He was just the person that he was, and he was natural. I wonder what personality type you are. Are you an introvert, or are you an extrovert? Are you outgoing, or are you inward-looking? The terms introversion and extroversion were popularized by a Swiss psychiatrist, called Carl Jung in the 1920s. And the term describes our preferences and traits and what things we prefer, what things we find stimulating and what things we tend to dislike and find draining. Extroverts tend to enjoy human interaction and to be enthusiastic, talkative, assertive, and gregarious. Extroverts are energized and thrive off being around other people. They take pleasure in activities that involve large social gatherings such as parties, community activities, public demonstrations, and businesses or political groups. They also tend to work well in groups. An extrovert is likely to enjoy time spent with people and find less reward in time spent alone. They tend to be energized when around other people, and they are more prone to boredom when they're by themselves. Does that describe you? I wonder. The opposite is an introvert. An introvert is likely to enjoy time spent alone and find less reward in time spent with large groups of people. Introverts are easily overwhelmed by too much stimulation from social gatherings and engagement. Introversion, having been defined by some as a preference for a quiet, more minimally stimulating external environment. They prefer to concentrate on a single activity at a time and like to observe situations before they participate. This has been especially observed in developing children and adolescents. They are more analytical before speaking. You know, sometimes as Christians, we can think, God's only going to use me to tell others about Jesus if I'm that sort of person that's an extrovert, that I'm gregarious and the soul of every party and that sort of stuff, that I need to be like that in order to be effective in reaching people for Jesus. You know, that's nonsense. Because no matter what our personality type, whether we are extrovert or introvert, God wants to use each and every one of us. Now, we don't really know what personality type Andrew was, but I suspect, reading between the lines, that he was probably a bit more introverted rather than extroverted. Because again and again, we hear about his brother, Simon Peter, putting his foot in it all the time, literally. Simon Peter was gregarious, he was outspoken. Out of all of the disciples, if someone was going to say something, it would usually be Simon Peter. Like when they were all in a boat and Jesus was walking on water, it was Simon Peter who spoke up and said, you know, if you are Jesus, call me out onto the water. And I can just imagine all the others were going, oh, Peter again, you know. But Andrew wasn't like that. We hardly hear anything about him in the Bible. Throughout of the New Testament, in the Gospels, there's only like a few mentions about him. He's mentioned once in the book of Acts. So he seems to be behind the scenes, working behind the scenes. Now, you might be somebody like that who you don't like being up front. It's not your thing to be standing on a stage or anything like that. You couldn't think of anything worse. And you might think, because of that, that you're disqualified from bringing people to Jesus and sharing your faith. I want to tell you today, you're the very person God wants to use to bring others to know him. Some people, like, will be bought by extroverts, and that they will respond to that. I think, yes, that person, yeah, because of what they did, because they're so extroverted, I'm going to go along with what they're saying. But some people are the opposite. An extrovert isn't the sort of person to share the Christian faith with them because they're going to think, no, you're too much like a salesperson. I'm closing the door on you. But someone who's quiet, who's an introvert, is probably best reached by someone else who's quiet and who can explain things in a quiet manner without any pressure and without too much fuss. You know, there's not one right or wrong. We're all different in terms of our personality types. But God wants to use each one of us, no matter where we're at, to reach others for Jesus. So Andrew was just himself, and God used him to reach his brother. Imagine if he had never shared with his brother that good news. You know, his brother, Peter, was someone who God used to first reach people who weren't Jewish. Now, I don't know how many Jewish people we've got here this morning. I don't imagine we've got very many Jewish people amongst us. But the gospel, the good news of Jesus, would never have come across to us if it wasn't for Simon Peter. Because Simon Peter was the first person, really, who shared the good news with people who weren't Jewish. And they became Christians and got filled with God's Spirit. Because of that, we're here today because the good news has come to us. So you think just how significant Andrew telling his brother was. We don't know the significance of each person that we share the Lord with or each person that we invite to a meeting. We don't know what God's going to do in the future lives of people. There's a guy called Mordecai Ham. How many people have heard of him? Okay, there's one. Okay, one person's heard of him. Okay, so he's not very well known, Mordecai Ham. But Mordecai Ham had the boldness enough to lead a meeting, a bit like I am doing today, and to tell people about Jesus. He had the gall to do that. He went for it. And he gave an appeal. And at this appeal, I don't know how many people came forwards and gave their lives to the Lord, but one of the people who came forwards was a young man. This was in 1934. This young man's name was Billy Graham. And Billy Graham has been used by God. He's died now. He's with the Lord. But he was used by God to reach thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over the world. Presidents, many presidents were witnessed to by Billy Graham because of his boldness. But Billy Graham would never have had that ministry if this guy, Mordecai Ham, hadn't preached this message and told him in the first place about Jesus. We don't know the significance of just one person that we lead to the Lord, of what God's going to do through that one person. So in a sense, you could say Mordecai Ham, because of Mordecai Ham, the gospel has gone all around the world because of this guy's obedience on that one day. Imagine if on that one day he'd have thought, this is no good. Am I really making a difference? I might as well just stay in bed today, you know. Or maybe if he'd have thought, I'm not very outgoing. I'm not going to embarrass myself by sharing the Lord today. But he went for it, and look at the results. So whatever your personality type is, don't use that as a reason for not telling others about Jesus. I'm going to show a little video now. Bear with me as I go to the back just to put it on. And I've told you a little bit, thanks David, I've told you a little bit about the festival that is coming up. Well, it's not a festival, it's a tour of the UK that Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, is doing, and he's going to be speaking about Jesus and telling people about Jesus. So I just want to play a little video about that. It's just a couple of minutes long. Okay, so that's a little bit of an overview about the meetings that are going to be happening. So Franklin Graham is coming over in 2020. It's going to be in the ICC, which is the new Celtic Manor. You know that big conference centre that has been built in Newport? So it's going to be a free meeting. And, you know, if you're not a Christian and you want to go along to that and hear the good news, you're very welcome to come with us. Or if you are a Christian, you're very welcome to bring friends. We'd encourage you to do that. I've got some literature there that we're going to give you at the end of this message. But one of the things I mentioned there is I am Andrew. It's that the heart behind it is that each person who's a Christian becomes a bit more like Andrew in inviting people, telling others. So we're going to just continue looking at this passage and just bring out a few more things about Andrew, two more things about him. The next thing about Andrew is that he was invitational. He was intentionally invitational. You know, sometimes you can, or we can sort of, if it's right, we'll invite somebody, but you know, sometimes we need a bit of prodding to actually make that invitation. You know, someone's literally going to be saying, please invite me along to church. I remember once I was a psychiatric nurse and I was doing my nurse training. I lived in the nurse's home in Penaval Hospital. And there was a friend of mine and we used to chat regularly. And I invited him to church. And he said to me, do you know what? I have been waiting weeks for you to invite me to church. I had no idea. I just thought, if I'd have missed that, you know, how long have we missed opportunities to invite people to things? And the opportunity just goes sometimes. I wonder throughout our lives how many missed God appointments there has been of telling people about Jesus and inviting people. Apparently, 80% of those who come forward at Franklin Graham meeting, 80% are those brought by a friend. That's really high, isn't it? And it's the same, I'm sure, in church. Those who become Christians, really, mostly are those who've been invited by a friend. That's why friendship evangelism is so important. It's just us being ourselves. And it's a one-to-one thing. You know, you look at someone like this, you think, does mass evangelism work? No, it doesn't work if there isn't one-to-one evangelism. What makes it work is the local church being involved and people inviting their friends to stuff. And it works not just on a mass scale like that, but it works within local churches too. So that where there's a good local church, that's building strong relationships with its community, and it's friendly, it's making people feel welcomed, and where people have got friendships and they're inviting people, it does make a huge, huge difference. Andrew was like a bridge, wasn't he? He was a bridge enabling people to cross over to find Jesus. Not only did he bring his brother to Jesus, but later on in John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 20 to 22, there's a couple of Greek-speaking Jews who wanted to see Jesus. First of all, they chatted to Philip, and then Philip went to Andrew, and Andrew said, yeah, I'll take them to Jesus, and he took them to Jesus. So he was like a bridge. You know, at the time, there would have been a bit of a cultural clash between Jews and the Greek-speaking world, because some of the Jews had gone out into the world and they'd taken on Greek culture. And in some ways, they didn't always get on brilliantly well. We see that in the book of Acts. During the distribution of the daily widows' gifts of food, there was a bit of a clash going on between the Greek-speaking Jews and the Hebrew-speaking Jews. So we know that it wasn't always easy. There was a cultural bridge to cross. And here we see Andrew crossing that cultural bridge and making it easy for everyone to come to Jesus. What are we like? What are you like? What am I like? Are we good at crossing that cultural bridge to enable people to come to Jesus? You know, sometimes Christians can live in a bubble. You can live in a Christian world and everything's nice. I'm just going to my next meeting and I'm going to go with my next Christian friend, and then my next meeting, then my next Christian friend, then they're going to read my Bible. All great stuff, but if we're not having any friendships out in the world, isn't that a bit crazy? We've got to be forming relationships with the world, being light in the world, in a dark place, because people need it. People are desperate, aren't they, at the minute, to find answers. So let's be those who outreach to others. I remember chatting to an evangelist once who was doing a series of guest meetings where he worked with a church, and they regularly had guest meetings where they would invite people to come to church. They weren't effective, and the reason why they weren't effective was because he soon realized that the congregation he was working with, they just knew one another. They didn't know anybody outside the church. They didn't have any friends who weren't Christians. So he had to teach into that and say, guys, you need to be forming some relationships with people outside the church, not just mixing. You know, it's good to mix with the church, but not just with the church. Get normal again, you know, start to build some friendship groups, join a club or a society or something, or do something that's going to involve you meeting other people, find a job with those who aren't Christians. It can be a bit of a situation for someone who's in ministry full time. You can end up becoming isolated and just having Christian friends, and that's not good. I need to do it as well as each one of us. We need to be forming relationships outside of the church, being friendly, and sharing our faith in an appropriate way with those who don't know Christ yet. When was the last time you invited someone to church or to a meeting? Why not think about that now? Think about some people that you know need Jesus in their lives. When was the last time you gave an invitation and shared your faith with someone? God wants to use each one of us. Then the last thing about Andrew was this: he was tuned in. Sometimes we can go through life with our antennae down, and other times we can have our antennae up. If something interests us, our antennae goes up, we think, and we'll tune into that. But sometimes we can go throughout life not being tuned in to the Holy Spirit, to God, and not being tuned into those around us. And that's when we miss opportunities to be sharing God with others and to see God moving in their lives. Andrew was someone who was tuned in to God and to those around him. Remember the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus did an amazing miracle? He fed 5,000 people. Well, Jesus was testing him. He said to Philip, first of all, where can we get, you know, how are we going to feed these people, you know, sort of thing. And then Philip said, 5,000 people? 8 months' wages would just barely give them a nibble of bread, you know? That was his response, because he didn't have his antennae up. But Andrew did have his antennae up, because Andrew said, well, here's a young boy with, was it five small barley loaves and two small fish? But what could all that do amongst such a crowd, thousands of people? Now, we look at that sometimes and we think, oh, Andrew didn't have any faith because of what he said. But I think he did have faith, because I think it was just nuts that he would actually say, oh, here's a young boy with a little pat lunch. You know, got a vast crowd, a sea of people, sea of faces. You go, well, here's a young boy. It's almost like a joke, isn't it, really? And he brought him to Jesus. I suspect that he knew that Jesus was going to do something absolutely incredible. He had that seed of faith. Isn't that what we've got to do, though? To have our antennae up to situations around us, to see those divine appointments that God is bringing our way, and to respond sensitively, and to leave the results with God. You know, sometimes we invite people, especially members of our families. It's not always the easiest, is it, with members of families? It was good that Simon Peter came along, but he needed some convincing himself about Jesus, didn't he? But I wonder if we've invited friends and family and we've not had a good response. You know, later on in the passage that we read today, there was another guy, Philip, who would go out and try and invite Nathanael. And he would tell Nathanael about Jesus and say, come and meet this guy who we think is the Messiah. And he said, "Well, you know," he said, he's Jesus of Nazareth. And then the response was, Nazareth? Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? And maybe you've had a similar response. Oh, I go along to church. Church? Family church? You go there? Or maybe you've invited someone to a meeting and you've had a bit of a negative response. Well, don't let that upset you and stop you from carrying on and sharing the good news with people. Because for Philip, he didn't let that stop him. He said, come and see, was his response. Come and see. Now, it may well be that someone in your family in the past has rejected the Lord and they haven't said yes. It may well be that God's going to give you a come and see moment, a window of opportunity where, again, you can actually say to that person, come and see. One of the things that they're encouraging us to do each day is to think about those people around us who we know don't need the Lord but need to know the Lord, and to pray, to commit to praying at least for one person every day. Focused prayer every day for that person. No matter where they're at with the Lord, no matter where they've been in the past, or how many times they've said no to the Lord, to actually think, Lord, I'm going to pray for that person every day until they come to know you. In the I Am Andrew, the aim is to commit to pray for at least one person, then to bring them to an event, to actually, first of all, to start to share time with them. So it may be that you know there's a friend that God is actually putting on your heart. You pray for them every day, you commit to that, and then you commit to start to spend time with them. Not just spending time with the church, do that as well, but start to craft in time where you can actually just have a meal together or get to know that person a bit better if it's not a member of your family. Or even if it is a member of your family, you've not seen them for a while. Just build relationship with them and have a genuine friendship. You know, we're not just trying to convert people. We're trying to be real, aren't we? And people know if it's just, oh, this person is just trying to convert me. We need to be real friends to people, not to be fake. And then to be praying for that opportunity to share about the Franklin Graham meeting that's going to be in 2020. Hello. What would you like? Are you coming up or are you going down? No worries at all. No worries at all. So the next thing is to invite them to the meeting. Or maybe to invite, it doesn't have to be the meeting, it could be invite them to church. Invite them to something that they're going to hear the good news at. And then you bring them to it. So you don't just say, oh, come to church one Sunday, but you arrange to go with them. You know, it's so hard going into a new place on your own, isn't it, where you don't know anyone. Walking into a pub Just even just walking into the pub across the road, if you don't know anyone in there, just walking in there, that's a big deal. Anywhere, any environment. So bring the person. You go with them. You say, I'm going. Would you like to come with me? It'd be great if you can come with me. You know, do it in a positive way. Would you like to? Please come with me, you know, be enthusiastic. And then follow up. Follow up is really inviting them to church afterwards. When I gave my life to Jesus, I turned my back on the occult. I used to do tarot cards every day. I used to do the Ouija board. I used to do all sorts of stuff. I gave it all up because I realized it was wrong. And I dedicated my life to Jesus. I said a prayer and I meant it. Went home, burnt all my occult books. I got rid of them all. And I followed Jesus. But the lady who led me to the Lord, Sheila Millwater, she said, come to church. I didn't want to go to church. She said, come to church. I said, why should I go to church? You know, I really had become born again. I'd become a born-again Christian, but I didn't want to go to church. And she had to really emphasize how important it was to me. She said, it's really important that you come to church because if you want to grow as a Christian, you need to be with other Christians. You need that encouragement. So I just trusted her. And because I trusted her, I went to church. On that first Sunday, it was an Anglican church, hundreds of people in a school hall. She said, oh, would you do me another favor? Would you share your story in front of all these people? It was the most scariest thing I've ever done in my life, but I did it. And it did me good, you know. But people need encouragement for follow-up. We can't just like bring people to that point of giving their lives to the Lord and not do any follow-up. So this I Am Andrew is a way of really committing and saying, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to commit to praying for one person every day. I'm going to invite them. I'm going to spend time with them, invite them to church or invite them to this Franklin Graham outreach. And I'm going to also invite them to church as well and encourage them to come along. So, you know, I know it takes a bit of faith, especially if you've had rejections in the past. But just allow the Holy Spirit just to move in faith again that people will come to know the Lord. And he's drawing people to himself. We're going to watch another, it's only a very short video again, which is all about I Am Andrew. You might think, where does that name I Am Andrew come from? Well, it means about identifying with somebody. So you think about Spartacus. I am Spartacus. I am Spartacus. It's identifying with Spartacus because he was going to, was he going to be killed or something in the film? And then Je suis Charlie. Remember with the Charlie Hebdo, I think that newspaper in France had got into some trouble, and I think 12 of them were shot dead, weren't they? And then it so outraged people all around the world because of freedom of speech that everyone started to put in Je suis Charlie, identifying, I am Charlie, basically, identifying with the outrage, really, that people can't, you know, speak. Freedom of speech, basically. And I Am Nikon. Lots of groups have started using this about identifying with something. I think in one of the universities, when they were trying to encourage youth to come to their university, they would say, is it I Am Edinburgh University or whatever the university was. So it's become quite popular. But I Am Andrew is our way of saying, I want to be more like Andrew. I want to be invitational, inviting people to come to know the Lord. So let's watch this one. Okay, so I've got some literature all about that here. I wonder if we can just come up and one at a time and just get one of these each. So get one of these prayer cards. That's a reminder to pray. Use it as a thing to put in your Bible or to put in a bookmark. This is the Christian Life and Witness course. In February, there's going to be four sessions, 4 weeks four single sessions happening. I think the nearest church is in Newport, in the Warehouse Church in Newport. There's also the same course is happening in All Nations Centre in Cardiff as well. So you've got choice of two different venues. But basically, this is the course they mentioned is really about how to lead a fulfilling Christian life, where we're really, you know, on fire for God and we're making a difference and able to share our faith with others. So it gives practical tips of how to share our faith with others as well. So that's coming up in February. And Some of the people that do that, they might want to go on and actually be what they call counselors, which is people on the evening of the event who will be there when people respond to the good news of Jesus. They need people to bring the follow-up literature and to pray with them at the end. So it might be that God will use you to be one of those people. They will only use people who have been on this course. So you need to be doing the course if you're interested in doing that. But you don't have to be a counsellor, a follow-up counsellor after doing this course. You could just do this course and just use it for your own benefit. It's just a really good course to go on. It's free. Everything's free, the whole thing. They're paying for everything. So they're not going to have any collections in the main meeting either. They're just going to give the good news of Jesus. So it's really good. So grab one of these. Grab a prayer thing. And grab an I Am Andrew. And it says on the back, I pledge to pray for. And I'd love it if we could put at least one name down on the back this morning. Because the fact is, if you aim for nothing, you'll hit nothing. But if we aim for something, we're bound to hit something, aren't we? So I wonder if each one of us can just come up, grab one of these, and one of these. Grab a pen. Take your pen with you. I've got a bin here. When you're done with your pen, just put your pen in a bin. It won't go in the bin, you know. It's just so I can use it again. Trish, if you're happy to, that'd be really helpful. While Trish is doing that, I wonder if we can pray together. Thanks, guys. As these are going around, let's just close our eyes, come in, and she'll have to tap you on the shoulder to wake you up when she comes past. Let's pray that God would give us courage, boldness to be inviters of those who don't yet know the Lord. Father, we thank you for the example of Andrew and how he just very simply was himself and he simply just told his brother about you and brought his brother to you. Lord, help us to be more like Andrew. Help us to be those who are inviters, those who are bringers, Lord, who come. Who encourage people to come to Jesus. And Lord, help us, just like Andrew, help us just to trust you with the results, Lord. And Lord, we pray for faith to increase amongst us, that we'd become a real community that has an expectation of salvations, Lord. Lord, you've done it in our lives. You can do it in the lives of other people too. Lord, we want to come before you now with specific people and pray, Lord, that you'd even this morning begin to move in their hearts. Loved ones, Lord, members of our families, Lord, friends that we're seeing regularly, people who really need the gospel in their lives. They really need a relationship with you. Would you have mercy on them, Lord? Would you forgive them of their sins? Bring faith into their lives. Please work, Holy Spirit, and do an amazing work in our day and in our time. Lord, we pray for revival. We pray that you would revive us as Christians. You'd fill us with your Spirit and just keep us on fire for you. Lord, if our hearts have been cold towards you of late, Lord, we just say we're sorry for that. Lord, please just come and be number one in our lives again. Fill us with your Spirit and keep us on fire for you, King Jesus. Amen. So as you get these cards, just write a name that you want to pray for. Or maybe there might be a few names that come to mind that you want to commit to. That lady brought her whole family. Well, she invited a whole family, but isn't that amazing? 9 people came, and many of them became Christians. Let's not limit God by what we think is possible. God is God. He can do stuff. This morning we've seen new people coming in, haven't we? It's been wonderful. It's been really good to have new people coming this morning. You're very, very welcome. Just give you a little bit more time to finish. Yeah, go ahead, Trish.
A few years ago, and we had to put someone's name down on a piece of card. And I was thinking, oh, who can I think? And then I thought of my friend Rachel. And I thought, oh, I'll pray for Rachel. And I didn't really see much of Rachel. She was a mother at the school gates, really. And that was our connection. Her daughter went to the same school as my children. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to just pray, just keep praying for opportunities. And I just kept on praying. And then I fell quite seriously ill. And in that time, Rachel came to visit me. And we really connected and had a really good friendship. And I didn't really tell her about the Lord even then because I was quite poorly and I was in myself, a bit afraid about what was going to happen to me. So I thought, I don't even say that I'm scared of the future because really I put my trust in the Lord. But then I just thought, no, I'm going to keep on praying. And she kept visiting. And then I said, have you ever thought about Jesus? Because I said, I can't get through a day without calling on him because I've got this illness that's nobody really understands the nature of it and how it would pan out for me. So she said, oh no, I never thought about it. And then suddenly, I didn't see her for a while, and then I heard from her, and she said, I've given my life to Jesus. It was funny because she had a settee that had a brand new settee, and when it had come to the house, it was damaged. And so the person that had to come and look at this settee was a Christian. And he came to look at the settee and spent another 5 hours telling her about Jesus. Because she said, oh, my friend's a Christian. He must have said something. And he said, she's quite poorly at the moment, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, as he went on then, he said, well, I can lead you to the Lord here now. You don't have to wait for an event or a church event. So he did. And then she got very hungry to find out more, started going to a local church, not my church, it didn't matter. And then her husband got quite interested, and then he became a Christian. Their parents got interested, then they became Christians. And then I had a phone call then, Trish, I'm getting baptized. Come to my baptism. So I went. A whole family got baptized that day. A daughter, a son, her father and mother, her husband and herself all got baptized. She said, I will never stop thanking you for telling me that you knew Jesus. And I just thought, well, I didn't even really at that time. I was ill. I was quite poorly. I was, diagnosed with a very rare autoimmune system problem. And, nobody knew how it was going to, they were giving me medication, but they didn't know how it was going to pan out. So at that time, I was probably at my lowest, but then I was calling out to Jet, and I just mentioned that I trusted Jesus regardless, and that was the seed sown. And I didn't have to do much else after that, but God had heard my prayers. I'd been praying. I put a name on a card like you've been given now, and I put a name on a card and just prayed. And it was sometimes they were flippant prayers, like, oh, I forgot to pray for Rachel today. I'm just praying for Rachel. And that's what I did because I thought, well, you don't have to go into any depth. I didn't really know much about her life. So that's just an encouragement. You've make a commitment to pray for that one person. Who knows? That's what I'm saying. I didn't even expect. And isn't that wrong of me to think that? And yet her whole family were called by God and came to know Jesus. And it's brilliant.
Well done, Trish. Thanks for sharing that. That's amazing. So, yeah. It's the little things that make the big difference, isn't it? And it's being bold enough to give that initial invite or to bring up spiritual matters. Let's finish with a song, can we? We're going to sing You